today. We have a great privilege of having Kenny and Maureen LaRue with us. Kenny and Maureen have been used by God for many years. They've pastored quite a few, two churches, eh? For over 28 years, you said, eh? And God has really used them mightily, and God's taken them into the nations now. They've been working into Zimbabwe, into Africa, into Namibia, into Botswana, and also they've been working into Canada. So God's using them powerfully. They're living out of suitcases a lot of their time, so these intrepid travelers for the Lord. And they are a blessing to us. They are on Tyron and Daniel and Nicole Daniel's team, NCMI team, and they are a great blessing. And we've been trusting for many years for them to get here, and we are really privileged today to have them with us. I'd like to pray with them. And Ivan, you had a word for the folk. Maybe you want to come and share with that quickly, please.
Kenny and Maureen, when I saw you this morning, there was a word that came to me, and it was tributary. And then the Lord just opened up something for me in the spirit, and I looked, and I saw it was an area that you had maybe gone into before, but I just feel the Lord had closed it, because I just saw the start of it, and it had been closed. And I just feel that the Lord is opening it. I just feel again that it's a new tributary that God is opening for you in this season, and it'll be a good and a great work. I don't know if there are areas in your life where you've been in before and the Lord has stopped it. Yeah. I just feel God is, He's just saying to you that He's opening it, and it's going to be a good work.
Wow, thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Let's extend our hands towards Kenny and Maureen. Father, thank you for the gift to the body of Christ, and we just thank you for this wonderful couple. And Lord, as they come to minister today, will you just use them powerfully? Will you work through them by your Holy Spirit, and will you make a great deposit in and through them today into our lives? So thank you for your blessing today upon them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you to Mark and Nikki for allowing us to be here. Sorry it's taken 6 years, but God's timing is God's timing, eh? And I might have messed it up, but God's timing is always a good timing. It's just with an incredible joy that I want to share today's word. I want to say that God is calling all His priesthood to be effective. And sometimes we get scared of the word priesthood, so I'm going to say God wants all of His saints to be effective. Part of what happened at Calvary is that the curtain was torn. And with that tearing, every single believer can hear God for themselves. And it is our job as elders to help you to hear God for yourself. And with the eldership and with leadership, they just confirm what God's showing you already. That takes the pressure off them. It makes their job a joy. And I think there's too much of God's people depending on their leadership, which is not a bad thing because you walk in relationship, but you cannot depend on leaders as you depend upon God. And God wants you to be effective. And so what I'm going to speak about today is being effective, and what you do with the Bible will determine your authority, your voice. It'll determine your breakthrough. It'll determine, in fact, everything about your life is what you do with the Bible. And it might be very simple to us today, but if we are honest, how much are we in God's Word? And if it's true that we are effective because of the Bible and the power of the Spirit, ought we not to be more in the Bible? A truth me and Maureen have tried to live by for many, many years is we cannot fight flesh with flesh. We cannot fight our mind with our mind. We cannot fight our thoughts with our thoughts. To get victory in this life, we declare loudly the Word of God. And our thoughts and our victory, and our thoughts, our mind, and our flesh have to bow the knee to the Word of God. You see, what we do with God's Word will determine our effectiveness. I want to read a few things to you. We say, I am afraid. God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. We say, I don't know how to disciple or evangelize. God said, with the same faith you believe, you now speak. We say, it is impossible. God says, with me, all things are possible. We say, I can't do it. God says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We say, I'm worried and frustrated. God says, cast your burdens upon me because I care for you. We say, I'm all alone. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You say, I cannot forgive myself. God says, I forgive you whenever you confess, you repent, and you run to me. Forgiveness is yours. When we as believers obey the Word of God, and we obey the truth in grace, when we obey the Bible combined with the works of the Holy Spirit, then miracles will happen. Our breakthroughs will take place because we will have confidence in the authority of Jesus' name and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And like the word came through this morning, we will be explosions for the King and the kingdom, wherever we are. One thing we must remember is that God Himself initiates miracles. It is not our good works. It is not us praying 10 times a day or reading the Bible for 40 hours in a week. It is God Himself who initiates miracles. We just respond and work with God so that miracles can take place. Faith comes by what we do with the Bible. I want to read a testimony by D.L. Moody to you. He said this, I prayed for faith and thought that someday faith would come and strike me like lightning. But alas, faith did not seem to come. Then one day I read in Romans 10, now faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. I closed my Bibles and I prayed for faith, but alas, no faith. Now I open my Bible, I read it aloud, I study it and I pray, and faith has not stopped growing. It's a wonderful testimony. If me and you want heaven's authority, heaven's power, if we want our faith to grow, if we want to be the voice of strength that South Africa so needs and the world so needs, then the Bible combined with the Holy Spirit becomes very, very important. Breakthrough comes when we take the Word of God very serious. It's not only Africa that need the Word of God. We minister in Canada. We minister in Australia, and we go to Europe. And I want to say that many, many young people in the age of 30s, and we talk about Jesus to them, and they say, we've never heard about Jesus the way you're talking about him. For us, Jesus is a swear word. You know, we got to remember that for years and years, none of the name of Jesus has been mentioned in schools. There's no prayer in schools. There's none of those things. So a generation has come through without knowing Jesus. But me and you in this country know Jesus. I still believe from South Africa, from Africa, we're going to touch the first world once again with the gospel. They brought it to us. We're going to take it back to them. Because God works that way. There is simply no separating the power of the Holy Spirit from the spoken and the written Word of God. God the Holy Spirit responds when we speak and pray the Bible. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And boom, there was light. Whenever I say boo or boom, you need to say it as well, just so that you stay awake, right? Because I heard you sleep. I mean, I think that's all right. You see, God said, let there be light. The Holy Spirit was hovering. And when God spoke, light came. Throughout Scripture, we read of many, many accounts of people who kept the word of the Lord. And they experienced miracles and favor. But we also read in the Bible of those who rejected the word of God and experienced disaster and lost their voice of authority. So I want to look at four aspects that I hope will help us have a hunger for God's word. And the first point is this. The word of God is a person, not just about a person. The person is Jesus. The Bible is a living word. John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14 says this. In the beginning was the Word, and was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. You know, if we just have truth and no grace, we will be legalistic. If we just have grace and no truth, we will be licentious. We need truth and grace. Moses gave the law. Jesus came with grace and truth. And He's still amongst us with grace and truth because He came. And by His Spirit, He's living with us. Jesus is not some theology, some teaching, some ideology, some gimmick, some magic word, some swear word. Jesus is the revealed Messiah. It's all right, I'm 61 and I can still jump. It's okay. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen. Jesus does not only want us to know about Him, He wants us to know Him. I don't just love Jesus, I'm in love with Jesus. I can tell Maureen all the time I love her. My sweet pea, my baby, Peepapaloopa, she's my baby, she drives me crazy. I can do that. But if I don't show her I'm in love with her, those songs that I sing so beautifully will mean nothing. We are told to live our lives through Him, on Him, in Him, under Him, for Him, with Him, unto Him, and like Him. We are to keep people focused on Him, promote freedom in Him, prioritize faithfulness to Him, and pursue fruitfulness in Him. He is our King. Friends, if we are not captivated by Jesus, the Word, if He's not central, we are not singing the right tune. Jesus is the head, He's the heart, and He's the hope of the church. How much airtime do we give Jesus in our personal walk, in our daily lives? When we are captivated, when we are cooperating with Jesus, when we are confident, courageous, content, contrite in Christ Jesus, our spiritual heart rate will be perfect. And we will be contagious. And others will catch what we've got. Our teeth are not just for smiling. It's not just for eating, it's also for smiling. I honestly think God's people need to smile more. So show somebody your teeth. Smile. The second point. You know, surely, there's two major things in the Bible. It's grace and love and joy. Those who are full of the Holy Spirit have righteousness, joy, and peace in them. And part of joy is we see it in our bodies. We see it in our teeth. I just want to say, there's quite a few younger people here today. I just want to set you free. When you get to 40, buy that machine that you know, closes the hair. Just get over yourself. Just buy it, because you do get hair that comes out your nose and your ears. That's got nothing to do with my second point. I'm just keeping us awake, right? So the second point is have a relationship with the Word of God, with Jesus. You know, to have a relationship, it's disciplined commitment to spend time with the Bible, with Jesus, who is the Word of God. We have to make time to listen to God speaking through and to you. To be honest, we cannot afford not to have a relationship with the Word of God. The devil does not want us to have a relationship with the Word of God. And it's not always the hours you spend. It's a quality time. If you've got 5 minutes, that's a good 5 minutes. Make it count. Because the enemy knows that our victory, our breakthrough, our voice of authority, our strength comes by what we do with the Bible and the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness 3 times, he said these words. What did he say? It is written. Boom. Bang. Enemy's quiet. And he's defeated. You know, the devil has no feet and no arms because he's been defeated and disarmed by the cross. He can headbutt you, but he can't harm you. His feet can't kick you because he's defeated and disarmed by the cross. There are 2 examples in the Bible where people did not take the Word of God serious. The one was Saul. Remember Saul? It caused him to lose his kingship. It caused him to lose his authority. And it eventually caused him to say to his armor bearer to put the sword down so he could fall on it. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 13 says this. God speaking. It says, "You acted foolishly, Saul. You have not kept the command and the word of the Lord your God that he gave you. If you had, God would have established your kingdom over all Israel for all time, but now your kingdom will not endure." Such a scary verse that, right? 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23 says this, "Does the Lord your God delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed the word of the Lord is better than the fat of rams." Wonder if it's better than rump steak and fat. "For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because, Saul, you have rejected the word of God, God himself has rejected you as king." A second man who didn't take the word of God seriously, and he doubted, was the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah. He lost his voice and his tongue for 9 months. After Gabriel, the angel, he came to Zechariah and he said to him, and in scripture he says then to the angel who gave him, you know, "Your wife's going to be preggy." He says, "How can I be sure of this?" I mean, how many of us would like an angel to talk to us? I mean, I think it's cool. But then I have one that speaks to me every single day. Oh. Zechariah doubted the word of God. He doubted the word of God. The angel replied in Luke chapter 1, verse 20, and says to Zechariah, says, "And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens. And because you did not believe the word of the Lord, which will come true at its proper time." God's word is true. God's word is life. God's word is Jesus. When we have a relationship with the Bible, we have all of heaven's authority in Jesus' name, in the power of the Spirit, and we will be his voice in all situations. I wonder how many of God's people have lost their voice of authority because we don't know it, we don't obey it, or we doubt it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, it is written, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. How many of us believe? How many of us speak? Ooh, less hands. With the same Holy Spirit of faith, we also believe. What do we believe, friends? We believe the word of God is true, and it comes with grace. And therefore speak, because we know the one that raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. Enjoy your relationship with the Bible. Problems, demons, ungodly situations will have to bow the knee to the power of God and His word. Believe the word. Accept the word. Do the word. Put the word into practice and see your breakthrough, see your victory in the power of the Holy Spirit. Third point, meditate on God's word. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, do not let the word of God depart from your mouth. Meditate it on a day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be successful and you will be prosperous. People often ask me this question, how do I meditate on the Word of God? And then I ask them, do you know how to worry? Do you know how to be anxious? Do you know how to get stressed over things? And the answer is normally yes. Then I said, you know how to meditate, but you're just meditating on the wrong things. You're meditating on negativity. You see, many of us meditate on what we say and not what God says. Remember that few things that I said in the beginning? Remember that the Holy Spirit responds to the word of God that He hears coming from our mouths. Meditate on the positivity of God's word. Declare it, proclaim it, shout it, speak it, obey it, don't doubt it. And prosperity and success is promised to you in Jesus Christ. And then my final point. Just do it. Nike never came with that thing. The Bible did. Just do it. Boom, boom, bang, bang. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. That's His love language. I don't know sometimes what Maureen's love language is. Is it gifts? Is it this? So I just do the whole lot for her, all five. But Jesus has one. What did you say, baby? In front of all the people, yeah? Depends on what mood she's in. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. When God speaks to you through His word, now you're getting ill. The first miracle Jesus did was for His glory. And He did that miracle at a wedding in Cana in Galilee. Jesus changed water into wine. That miracle still gets us into trouble today. But it was for His glory. When the servants made known that they had run out of wine, Jesus' mother said to the servants in John chapter 2 verse 5, do whatever He says. They did. And the miracle took place. And in this case, it wasn't a need. It was a want. It was a desire to have more wine. Jesus declared. The servants obeyed. And boom, boom, bang. Breakthrough. And a headache the next day if it was fermented wine. In John chapter 4, Jesus heals an official's son. John chapter 4 verse 49, the official speaks to Jesus and says, sir, come down before my child dies, Jesus replies, you may go, your son will live. The official took Jesus at his word and departed, and the son lived. When Jesus speaks, we ought to listen. We ought to obey. We ought to declare his word. The Holy Spirit gets in on what we're declaring, and action happens. Breakthrough comes. Victory and effectiveness to advance the kingdom happens when we declare his word. Friends, I want to say again, it's not only the apostolic, it's not only the elders, it's not only your leaders, it's every single believer. Every believer. John chapter 21, you can read, I'm not going to read, it's verse 3 through to 8 and then 11 and 12. After everything happened, Peter is back fishing and he's catching nothing. It's like when I go to Kariba, try and catch fish, everybody else catch, I catch nothing. Jesus says, cast your nets on the right side. Peter said, Lord, at your word we'll do it. Boom, boom, a great catch. But you know what happened first? Peter says, we have been trying to fish all night, Lord, and we've caught nothing. Jesus says, throw your nets, Peter. Peter focuses on what Jesus says, obeyed, and just did it. The Holy Spirit heard that declaration, and wow, so many fish that the net started to break. Not only did they catch fish, God restored Peter to his ministry. And in Acts chapter 4, it says, Peter preached, and 3,000 people got saved in one meeting. Amazing. He got his voice back. And I believe God wants to bring voices back today. Voices of authority, voices of strength, voices of breakthrough. But it depends what you do with the word of God. When God speaks, obey it, proclaim it. Shout it aloud and watch the Holy Spirit produce miracles, signs, and wonders. Look to Jesus, who is the Word, and get to know the Word, which is all about Jesus. Relate to the good news found in the pages of Scripture and be positive. Meditate on the positivity of God's word. Believe that it is true. To meditate on God's word. 3 years ago, we've been leading church for 28 years. 3 years ago, God said to me and Maureen, hand the church over to a younger man and trust me to go into the nations. How many of you know that's not a wise decision at that age? We were at good salary. Maureen was getting paid well. Church was fairly big. And God says, leave it and trust me. The church gives us a living allowance. But every travel, everything we do by faith in God because he spoke. Amen. We go to Canada. And how many of you know you need 50,000 rand to go to Canada, to go there and travel in Canada? We have not once sent letters out begging people for money. We go to God because God spoke. One particular point, I shared it with the elders. We had to go to Canada, and we have a travel agent. And she said, Kenny, you and Maureen have got 3 days, this was a Friday, to pay. And if you don't pay, we got to cancel the ticket. So I did a wedding that Saturday in an unbeliever, atheist home. Beautiful home on the west side of Johannesburg, the good side, the west side, just so you know. Good. It was a lovely wedding. But before the wedding, this unbeliever, atheist comes to me and Maureen said, oh, I heard that you guys travel and you these missionary types. So we said, yeah. He says, well, who pays for that? We said, God. Like a kind of, whoa. So I do the wedding, and the reception's also there. An hour into the reception, he calls me and Maureen to his room. And he says, I don't really believe in God and all of this, but I think your God needs my help. Can you give me your bank account because I'm paying for your ticket? You know what I'm saying? God is God, and we listen to him, he will come through for us. Not always the way we want him to come through. God's God. And we can't like demand things from him. We can hear him, declare it, Holy Spirit comes, boom! Oh, awesome. Meditate on the positivity of God's word. Believe that it's true. Obey and do what the Bible says. Just do it. And signs, miracles, and wonders, voice of authority, the enemy that's got no arms, no feet, is defeated, and you have victory. Somebody. I want to ask, if you feel that you want to be effective for the king, not manipulative, I'm just going to ask and then pray. And you want to be effective, and you want a voice of authority in the power of the Spirit, then I want you to stand where you are right now. And I want to pray. Just God, this morning, I'm doing this by faith. I realize some of your situations, not good. I had to go through to Peter Marisburg during the week. My mom's 85. She had a hip replacement. And we thought she wasn't going to make it. She's still not good. But I believe this one thing is that God is her father. God is our father. Whether you like me today or not, I'm going to be with you for eternity. So, whoa! Why did we stand? Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the simplicity of your word. We thank you that you are our teacher. Yes, to do things as a church, to unpack the Bible, to get into it, it's just so good. But when it's me and you and the Bible, Holy Spirit, you bring Jesus alive. From Genesis through to Revelation, it's all about a king and his kingdom. In every book of the Old Testament, you are represented, Jesus. It speaks about your coming. All the epistles just help us to be in you. The gospel tells us about what you did and what we to do and even greater works. Book of Revelation brings us a hope. And that we expect and then say, come, Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, I know you're in us. And you're not, and you haven't come for coffee or tea. You live in us. Your home is in us. But I ask that rivers of living water will flow from us as we declare your word. Thank you that in your word, Hebrews chapter 4 says, that your word is sharp, like a two-edged sword. Your word doesn't bruise us. Your word cuts through and heals us. So this morning I ask, Father, help us to take seriously, not out of law, but out of a love relationship, because the word of God, the Bible, is Jesus, and Jesus is in the pages of the Bible. I pray a reawakening of every single saint to fulfill the purposes according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are all God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which Father prepared in advance for us in Christ. Every believer significant, every believer doing what you said, every believer declaring, every believer in the authority of Jesus, every believer, every saint, victorious, voice of authority, strength, breakthrough because of your word. Bless these elders. Bless this congregation. I pray that in Jesus' name. Scaffolding gone. God's people standing. We have the word. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the finished work of the cross. And we've got a beautiful Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And on top of it all, we got all of heaven's hosts, all of the angels. We do not lose, we win. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Kenny. That is a very important word, is that I really want to encourage this. I don't want to add to it, but the word is so important. I just want to just ask, has everyone got a Bible? Where's your Bibles? Can I see them? It might be on your phone, but I'm asking you to get a physical Bible. And I'm asking you to put it next to your bed. And where do you do a lot of reading? I don't know. Do you do a lot of reading in the toilet? Sorry to talk like that, but I got a Bible in the toilet. And I find it's an incredible place to read the scriptures. Sorry, I'm not being rude now, but I'm just saying it's something of having the scriptures around your house. Get the Bible and read the Bible. And I want to just say to the young people, get off those tablets and get into the scriptures. Read the word. I'm telling you now, the word, if you get the word in your heart, as Kenny has encouraged us, you're going to make your way prosperous. Because when the word of God is put before you, the example is, if you put a rail track down, the train can run on it. And that's how God actually works. If you don't put the word down, the Spirit of God cannot run on anything. And you'll be empty. So if you don't put the word down, you won't be able to run on anything. So I want to encourage you. Please get the word of God in your heart. Memorize. I want to say, Franco, I'm amazed at him because he memorizes the word and he brings it out and he throws it at us and I say, you're Franco. And I'll tell you now, let's memorize the word of God and let's get it in our hearts and let's get it in our minds and let's quote the scripture and not get Bible bashing, but let's get the word of God in our hearts. We are the weakest we have ever been in the world because we do not know the word. And the Spirit cannot move if we do not have his word. And we have so much of it, but we would rather go and watch the TV than spend time in his word. Please, I want to encourage you as believers, get God's word in your heart and hear what God is actually saying to us. I haven't had a word for someone here today. I want anyone to come and share with us, please.
Good morning, family. I believe this word is